But it's Roger and James here from the This Kingdom podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking all about Disneyland Paris. There was a big event over the weekend over there called the Inside Ears, and it was all kind of a lot of the big like social community from Disneyland Paris. And this is the kind of the big thing. They announced quite a lot of different bits and pieces, lots of things with the park, the merchandise, and also some things that we already knew, some things we didn't. Some of the big news coming out of it was that they are bringing Mickey's Full of Magic to the Discoveryland Theatre, which in October. Fantastic. I think that is great news. Any kind of new attraction. And I'm wondering if it's going to be a new version of the I Love Full of Magic. So the idea of them bringing that to Paris is fantastic. There were some other things as well. Some Ratatouille refurbishments going to be down from August to December. The Mark Twain ship is returning 2020. Big Thunder Mountain is still, they're trying to fix an issue with that one. A little bit of news for Disneyland, for Walt Disney people. They're going to be bringing that Mickey and the Magician show that they've got over in Hollywood Studio, in the sort of the Walt Disney Studios, and bringing that one over. They also talked about some of the new merchandise and pizza, and just loads of little bits and pieces confirming that Starbucks is not going to be coming to mainland USA. They're also doing the online reservation thing for restaurants. They're doing that testing. They're bringing in Wi-Fi to the parks. Lots of new merchandise, a lot of stuff for the Mickey's 90th anniversary. There's a new Pirates of the Caribbean book that they're working on. The big news really was also that they are doing a major renovation of the Disney Village, which is a bit like Disney Springs, Disney Downtown Disney, but it's tiny. It's absolutely diddy, and it's got worse over the years, and it looks a bit dated. So they've announced that their plans are nearly there. They're going to be releasing the concept art soon. So that's great, because I love spending time down there, but I can't wait to see Disney Springs later this week and just see the difference and see what they've done there. They've also said there's going to be new stuff for the floats. There's going to be a new Phantom Manor float in the Halloween show. There's going to be a new big band there. There's going to be a dance-off. They're going to be bringing in a Photopass day, changing some of the stuff for the Phantom Manor. And that was it. There was loads and loads of stuff, but the other big part of this was the start of the social media. There's like a social media club for like all the like Disney blogs, like Disney Brits podcast, Destination, the E20, lots of like the Disneyland Paris community. And I think this is all part of now Disney are now own Disneyland Paris. They've got the stuff that's been coming out since they've taken over. Is we've never seen so much stuff, and they're communicating better, and it's all starting to feel like Disney are in control and taking it seriously, which we've not seen for years.
And now, to be fair, I have never been to Disneyland Paris, and heck, the last time I even really thought about Disneyland Paris before this was, it was still called Euro Disney.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have no basis to go off of how it used to be or how it even is at this moment. And I am planning to go see it. It'll probably be 2020 before I get over there, but I do want to go over and see it. But I'm glad that they're actually adding stuff to it. They're making it more unified with the Disney brand.
Yeah, I think that's the key thing there, is unification, because now that it's completely owned by Disney, you're seeing all this stuff coming through of, and then communicating. And they obviously want to get together with the community, because obviously we talk about stuff differently and to an audience. But also, there was always this like tone deafness from, it was a separate little company with different investors. It wasn't really, Disney wouldn't promote it properly because they were lining somebody else's pocket, and they didn't really have full control. Well, now everything's kind of sliding in, and they obviously want to make sure that, you know, what's working in Florida and California, they want to replicate over here as well, and kind of get a, you know, you look at like out in the US, you know, there is such a community of all the bloggers and the things going on at the parks, and it's created a new hive of activity where Paris doesn't have that same feel to it.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, we're part of the blogging community to a degree, but my involvement is strictly on the podcast, so I don't actually see most of the blogging stuff. So this is all just like, be cool. That's nifty. But yeah, this is bringing it into the fold and making it something that will be talked about again is very important. And honestly, it makes me more excited to go out there. It makes me go, all right, yeah, I do need to plan a trip out there. It'll probably be over one of the race weekends, so maybe not an ideal weekend to go in terms of like visiting the parks, but you know, two birds with one stone kind of deal. And yeah, I want to see what they've got going on here. And I'm particularly interested in this PhilharMagic. As you mentioned, it's one of your favorites. It's actually one of my favorites, too. And I'm really interested to see if they will actually make a new version of PhilharMagic for that. And if they do, if they will also bring that back stateside or over to the Asian parks. And I hope they do. Because it's one of those just... I always make a point of going to see it anytime I'm at the park. It's just... it's just fun. And it brings that nostalgia because right now, you know, it's doing, you know, Little Mermaid, Lion King, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, a little bit of Fantasia and so forth. But it would be nice if some of the newer bits or even some of the classics, you do like Wish Upon a Star or Cinderella or something like that. But we'll wait and see.
The other thing as well, if they're developing attractions and stuff, bringing it to all the different parks makes sense because it's cheaper that way, but also just seeing them talking about like the merchandise of getting that out there and being and food stuff, you know, that and also it's gonna be a lot easier because now all the stuff that they're creating for Pirate or for Disneyland and Walt Disney World, they can now just go, right, okay, now you can include a shipment and send it to Paris at the same time when it's getting sent out from China when it's been made. Whereas before, like Hong Kong, they don't own all of Hong Kong. They don't own all of Shanghai. They don't own all of Tokyo. I think Tokyo is different because it's run by a completely separate company. I think Shanghai, they own a much bigger portion of it. But Paris is now owned by them in the same way that the two American parks are. So I think, you know, we're seeing a lot more advertising. I know personally, from my point of view, some of the stuff they've been doing it, you know, my plan is to get out there once or twice a year now from now on, where there's a lot more newer stuff coming out and it's just becoming a little bit easier to get there. You know, if you do a trip to Disney World, it just kind of crunch it all together. You can't, you know, but yeah, I mean, I can get to Paris for a few hundred pounds and I can get to Paris, whereas Florida is a bit different. But it's from what I'm really liking about this is just more little things. Because that's been the big problem. Paris never got all the little touches. Because Disneyland and Walt Disney World are constantly announcing little things. And little things to get people going. And little differences. Paris didn't get that. It was such a... we do this. And it's a different budget. And we're not wasting it. And there's now... you can see the difference already. You know, that big announcement a couple of weeks ago. Of billions being spent on the park. On new areas and stuff. And then all this little stuff. And I think the little stuff is just as important as the big things.
It really is. And I've mentioned this in the past in the podcast, and this is normally how I describe it to people who ask about it. Talking about the two American parks, for me, Disney World and the associated parks over there have the better experience because of the small touches. You know, you feel more immersed in the Disney culture, the thing that they project, the Disneyfication of the area, whereas Disneyland has the better rides, but you're right there in the middle of Anaheim. You don't feel like you're in a Disney thing. It's just a theme park with Disney attractions. And yeah, you still get immersed in it, but not the way you do in Disney World. Yeah. And I think, you know, like I said, I haven't been to Paris, so I don't know, or to Disneyland Paris, so I don't know how it feels in terms of like Disney, but it's the little things that add up to it. It's the characters, it's the park attendants, it's the shops, it's the actual presentation, and those don't make for big headlines. Those don't make they're opening a new Mickey Mouse roller coaster in place of the Great Movie Ride at Hollywood Studios. So it's a big announcement, but you know, but they're the things that really kind of set the parks apart from any other theme park that you can go to. Like, I can go to a theme park right near me here. There's a it's on the light rail that I take every single morning to work. It's two stops down from where I go to work, but I would probably only go there once or twice, even though it's super convenient, because the only thing it has to offer are the rides.
Yeah.
It's not, and I don't even care if it's like Disney or, you know, branded with something else, even their own stuff. It's just rides. There's no immersion in a narrative the way there is in a Disney park.
I mean, this is the thing of like this, like the inside ear stuff as well, of the little things. I mean, I know when we went, you know, when we go in the spring and you have the spring and you have all the spring content, you know, now we have the Season of the Force at the beginning of the year. In the winter, the off season, you know, they bring all the Star Wars content in, and now they're bringing in the Halloween and the Christmas. You know, they're making that thing of like, you know, we're starting to see a little bit more of this where it, reasons to go at different times, and you know, maybe this year, last time we went in the spring, we're in night now. I'm thinking, well, actually, I might try and do a Christmas or a Star Wars trip in the winter when it's usually cheaper for me. I mean, and the rides are, I mean, it's different sitting there in your coat and your hat and your scarves, than sitting there in the sun, but it's got different content to draw you back in. And I think I'm really excited to see where this goes, and just being, and I'm also hoping as well, from like the merchandise point of view, we start seeing more integration of what's happening in America coming over here, and interconnection more with the interaction with tickets, online reservations, because now they can just bring what works from other parks, bring it to Paris, and I think we're going to see a lot more of this as we move on. Now it is under the full Disney control. We're going to see a lot more bets of the little stuff, and the things will just filter through because costs are less. You know, you're making the Infinity Gauntlet zipper for the parks. Well, you can make an extra third and ship them straight to Paris at the same time, and the costs are going to be so much less than they would have been if they created their own individual thing for Paris.
Yeah, absolutely. And there is a nice consistency about going to a park, any of the parks, and being, I can get the same merchandise here as I can in Anaheim or in Paris or whatever. And yes, each park should have its own little unique things, you know.
Yeah.
Even if it's just, we have the same plate that you have over here, but it says Disneyland Paris instead of Walt Disney World. Even something as small as that is a nice little touch. Mm. Although, obviously, you know, something that you can say is distinctly Disneyland Paris. I don't know, a Ratatouille thing or, something that you can say is Paris is nice to have. But 90% of the merchandise, you should be able to say, I can get the same thing here that I can get over here. And that way, you don't feel necessary to be like, well, I've got to go to all the parks to get all the merchandise that, you know, that I want, all the appropriate things. So the pins in particular, or the Vinylmations when those were big, or whatever the current collectible thing that is big, I can get those collectible items at any park. Funko Pops.
Whatever. And I'd also like them to integrate a bit more with Disney Store and kind of get the app going and make it a little bit more interconnected, because there's all over the place. But we'll have to know what you guys think of all the new news coming out of Disneyland Paris. Lots of exciting stuff. Great, lots of things changing. I mean, the attractions always need to be closed down. It's a shame Ratatouille. Apparently, they've got to lay a new floor in Ratatouille. The system is, I mean, to be closed for a few months is quite bad, but sometimes these things have to happen. But, you know, that one closes, Phantom Manor reopens. You know, it's, you know, one goes, one comes down. But let us know your thoughts on all of this. Let us know what you guys think. Comment below. Get in touch with us at thiskingdom.com. Also, where they can find you, James?
Find me at heroiclegacy.com.
I'm that guy, guys. Thank you very much for watching. See you guys soon. Laters. Au revoir.
Later.